This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
We live in a country that is based on capitalism.
True.
I travel all around the world, Dr. Ken, and when I tell you, based on my experiences, this is like the number one country that cares. Like, everything is about money. Yep. Everything.
I've told people in the past, you have to be careful of what you complain about and what you use as a tool, because other people will take it and use it in the wrong way.
Live at The Avenue, here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
Good evening and welcome. I think last time we were on was what, New Year's Day or something? Or was it Christmas or Thanksgiving? Or like, seems like it was forever. Well, good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I've had a rough couple weeks. My back's been in and out, and I had to get therapy and all kind. Woo! And then I just drove 4 hours from Indianapolis, so that didn't, you know. I'll pay for it later. So, yeah.
Well, we are glad that you made it safely. It's as if now, regardless of the transportation mode that you utilize, whether it's plane, train safely, you have to go in with patience. And if you're driving, defensive driving.
Yes.
But it's, and also, as we're going to talk about, amongst other hot topics, is, no pun intended, but what's really driving gas prices?
See, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
I know. I have to, because I know the listeners, they're feeling it too. I'll tell you what, I just had my son ship, or I should say I requested him to ship the Tesla that was in Milwaukee. And as I was sharing with you during our prep, it was so nice to sit there for 40 minutes and, I'll do the air quotes, fill my tank to a total of $9.57.
Don't we have commercials to play or something? We have commercials to play.
I'm not endorsing electric vehicles, but I kind of am today. Based on the gas prices, so.
Okay, well, Denise will be doing the show by herself today. I'm going to sit back in the cut.
No, I mean, I'm serious. Like, we as Americans are watching gas prices climb really, really fast.
Yep.
And it's like it's just overnight where the prices, you know, they were creeping into the mid $3 range, and now they continue to rise to where I think the average price of a gallon of gas in the United States is up to like $3.68 per gallon.
Yeah. Let me double check this to make sure. Let me see. Gas price today.
Speaking of Truth Unfiltered. Thank you, everyone, by the way. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris and your girl DT, the effective communication coach. Hope you are having a great weekend. Speaking of The Truth Unfiltered, here's the truth that most people are missing.
What's that?
This obviously did not start at the gas station. This obviously started halfway across the world. And we have to go ahead and talk about this conflict involving Iran that continues to escalate. And more importantly, a region that controls a significant portion of the world's oil supply. So when we connect the dots, the tension rises in the Middle East, especially those areas that are near those critical oil routes, like, and I know President Trump just put out an ultimatum literally today, like the Strait of Hormuz. Thank you. Hormuz. Yeah, the global oil market reacts instantly. So that's why we are seeing the oil prices surge. The supply chains are tightening. and all of us feel it at the pump.
Oh yeah. But I have to correct you on your gas prices because you were incorrect. They're actually averaging $3.94 for regular, which is a little more than what you said. So, yeah, I'm not making my point well, am I? Okay, I'll be quiet.
I'm like, you said I was incorrect three different ways, three different times. Get to your point, Dr. Ken.
Yeah,
it's okay if I'm incorrect, but I'm basically saying
I'm making your argument for you.
Filling up your tank. But go ahead, because you're the smartest person in the room. So go ahead.
Right now, would it make sense? And I guess I can ask you, would it make sense to have both a gas car and an electric car?
Well, you can have one car that does both. It's called a hybrid.
Right. Hmm. And can you run it as all electric or all gas? Or is it just, it kind of switches on its own?
Most of the hybrids, like the Prius, it switches on its own, but it's basically, if you're driving, let's say, where the car senses that you're hitting the brake, the car will regard that as, oh, this person's driving probably, you know, around town. But if you're consistently driving at a certain speed, it's going to say, oh, this might be a long distance trip, so let's put this on the electric option. Okay. And for those that own a hybrid, like a Prius, and I know there are some luxury automobile manufacturers that have also started making hybrid vehicles like Mercedes, please call in and let us know how you are using your either hybrid vehicle or your electric vehicle. But I would not, as a consumer, have both, as an individual consumer, have both a fuel injected vehicle and a electric vehicle.
Okay.
That's just me, though.
And see, I'd be lazy. When gas would go down and electric prices go up, I would switch over to my gas car. And then when prices go up, I would drive my electric car. So,
well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, me living in Texas, this state has the largest number of power grids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another misconception that folks like me who have electric vehicles, who recently sold, I just sold my fuel injected car literally a week ago. It wasn't necessarily because of the gas prices. It was just the economy in general, because everything is going up. The cost of groceries, the cost of power, the cost of doing business as an entrepreneur. I can't speak for those outside of that. Because when fuel goes up, everything goes up. And for people who drive electric vehicles, especially those that live in Texas, guess how power is generated? Through oil.
Right, right.
So even if you have an electric vehicle, God forbid they come for the state of Texas, being that this is where the most power grids are, you got an electric vehicle, you still ain't going nowhere. Okay. I mean, that's just the reality.
So you're causing all kind of questions to pop up.
Where are they asking questions? We love questions.
Well, do electric companies run on, because you need oil to generate electricity. So even if you drive, like you said, you were 110% correct. If you have an electric car.
Evan, can you please record that and play it back?
Flag that. Flag that.
The second hour.
I'll even repeat it. 3, 2, 1. Denise Thomas, you're 110% correct.
What?
About you need gas. Well, you need oil to generate electricity. But my question, and I thought, so what kind of oil? Because, you know, refined, you know, you make it into gasoline. That process costs money, which is why, gas is so high. But what kind of oil do you use to make electricity? Or do you have a nuclear power plant and then that's that? So,
So here's what I can tell you about electric vehicles, or commonly known as EVs. Because when I did purchase my electric vehicle, I purchased it in 2021. That was more so based on, oh, well, let me, it's new. Cause that's when like the electric vehicles were really trendy. I refuse to say the manufacturer of my electric vehicle. I'm trying not to say the name. Okay. Let me just backtrack here. So yes, I was like, huh, it's a cute car. I'll get the little basic model. Let me try it out. So it was more of just out of curiosity. However, I did ask a lot of questions regarding the question you just asked. So electric vehicles essentially are powered by rechargeable batteries, and they're usually like lithium. Same batteries you use like Energizer Bunny batteries or Duracell. So then what happens is that instead of gasoline, it stores the electric energy from the recharge. So when you go to this, I almost said the manufacturer. You know what? I don't care. I'm sorry, y'all. Because I can't keep holding my, can I say the name of, is that,
yes.
Can I do that? Or
yes.
Not? Okay. So when you go to a Tesla supercharger, you're basically, again, putting that lithium and then it stores it. And that's where it starts burning. So instead of burning fuel, it's using that battery pack that stored the electricity that mm-hmm. you got from the charge and then turns that electricity into motion.
Right.
And so there's like this inverter that controls the power flow. So that basically whenever I press the pedal on my car, I'm activating energy, not fuel, like fuel injected vehicles. Now where it gets interesting, Dr. Ken,
mm-hmm.
is, again, I'm still using a commodity that's at risk because, again, what fuels power? Oil.
Well, but also, I think natural gas as well, right? So it could be either
that's
or.
A good question.
Yeah. Well, I guess either way you're going to pay. Mm.
The questions that I think we should be asking, I know we got to take a break. We'll come back.
Uh-huh.
Is I want to understand fully who actually controls the supply of oil. Because here lately, Dr. Ken, I feel like I used to think I knew who controlled it. But based on these different headlines that I'm reading, I don't have a lot of confidence in who I thought originally was the controller of the mm-hmm. supply. And as America, are we able to stable the supply? And most importantly, from my lens, how prepared are we if a disruption to our supply or source of oil happens?
Mm.
Because even if, yeah, that's to me what I think is part of unfiltering the truth today. Is knowing who controls it today.
Right.
How stable is it today? And are we as Americans prepared if there is a disruption? Because again, one of my friends was like, oh, you think he was like, you think you're better than everybody because you got a little Tesla? Well, guess what? You live in Texas, sweetheart. what do you think has given you? And I was like, oh my goodness, you have a point. Wow. So what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Are we prepared? Dear American people, are we prepared if a disruption happens based on who controls and who stabilizes supply of oil in our country? You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with the Dr. Ken Harris and Denise Thomas, the effective communication coach. When we come back, we want to hear from you. 855-616-1620 is our Citing Unlimited talk and text line. Let us know your thoughts. And if you do own or drive a hybrid or solely electric vehicle, how's that working for you? Or are you considering purchasing an EV? Let us know. 855-616-1620. We'll be back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
You are with March 22nd. This is your girl, DT, the effective communication coach, and along with my brilliant, distinguished, articulate, knows everything.
Sounds like I'm getting set up. Sounds like I'm getting set up.
Dr. Ken Harris, we are talking about a subject or a topic that I'm sure has been at the top of dinner conversations, not just this week, but probably for the past 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep.
So Dr. Ken, I'm going to start with you.
Aww.
And I definitely want to hear from our valued listeners on this. Because again, this hits all of us.
Yeah, we've got stuff on the talking text line. So there you go.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. My question is, and our Citing Unlimited talking text line is 855-616-1620. Starting with Dr. Ken, if you had to choose today, would you rather A, pay rising gas prices at the pump? And you just let us know that as of today, the average cost of 1 gallon of gasoline in America is $3.94. Or would you choose to switch to an electric vehicle knowing that your electricity may still come from fossil fuels? We'll start with you, Dr. Ken, and then call us, text us, let us know how you feel.
Do you want my reasoning behind it or just yes or no?
I want your reasoning behind it.
I would still drive a gas car.
Why?
Because I am invested in the market, and when the price of the stock for gas companies and oil companies goes up, I make money. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling process for me that in the long run, I'll end up with more money, even though I'm spending more money now.
Okay. On our Truth Talk, or excuse me, our Citing Unlimited Talk and Text line, a lot of people are saying they can't. We're going to work on it in our next break, but I do want to read some of our text messages. It says, Greg has one gas and 100% EV in his household. One of our other valued listeners says, unfortunately, gas is only up about 30%. But diesel fuel has increased much more and jet fuel has doubled since the war began. Also greatly increasing our LNG. I'm not for sure what LNG is. Do you know what that is, Dr. Ken?
Lightened gas.
Thank you.
Yep.
Fertilizer and most petroleum-based products like plastics. Who is this listener? I'm loving this knowledge. Thank you. And also they go on to say most power these days is generated from coal, fuel oil, natural gas, wind, solar, hydroelectric dams, and some nuclear gradually increasing in some parts of the world. They also go on to say last week, President Trump remarked that high oil prices are good for America, but that's likely only accurate for those in, like Dr. Ken, or invested in the oil industry.
Yep.
Regardless of the reason prices rise, oil industry profits usually rise as well, as long as there's adequate supply. Well, Dr. Ken, that's what the question is based on.
Yeah, yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
Because that's, like, that's what we led with, the supply.
Right.
Who controls it? Who's stabilizing it?
But we have our own. We have about 300 years worth of gas stored up, sitting around, sitting in the ground, and if they want to lower the price short term, see, they want to be a player in the world market. So if everybody puts out a little and a little, the prices stay stable. They can inch up, you know, 1 or 2% and nobody really notices. But in the long run, their job is to make money. So, you know, the price is going to go. Like, I remember when gas, you know, and Denise always, why do I keep saying stuff that I know Denise is going to come back and hit me with?
You're giving me a free layup.
I'll just go ahead and say it. Back in the day. Back in the day, gas was a dollar. I remember those days. You know, we had dinosaurs, we had flying mantis, and we had dollar gas.
Listen, let me just share this with everybody. My first car that I bought with my own money was a 1999 Honda Civic.
That's not fair.
Everybody,
that's not fair.
Who drove? What do you mean?
That's not fair. You and I both know Honda and Toyota can run on $2 worth of gas for 16 weeks.
Well I was gonna say I was bringing that up to make this point. I actually remember the price of gas when I purchased that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was right at 99 cents per gallon. And this was back in 1999 because I bought the car brand new.
Wow.
You couldn't
look at you.
Nothing. But remember the bra that you put on the front?
Yep.
Where the hood is?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Come on, man.
Wow.
Car, and I put 200,000, if not more, miles on that car.
Yep.
Shout out to the Honda Civic.
Yep.
My first car. But yeah, I mean, gas is now almost $4 a gallon.
Yeah. That's
and
scary.
Again, it's a domino effect because groceries, I literally buy the same groceries twice a week. I buy bread, eggs, fruit, vegetables, some of those little frozen salmon fillets that you can put in your air fryer. Fixed amount of groceries. And every time I go to the grocery store, same amount, escalated price. It's getting to the point where, I don't know how the average American is able to save money and invest in their future when you have to make decisions like, do I pay my mortgage or do I pay my child's tuition or do I pay my electric bill or do I put gas in a car? Average Americans are having to make decisions that we should not have to make in this country. Mm. I do still believe that America is a great country. Yes, I'm a black woman who just said, I believe that America is a great country.
Absolutely.
And the reason why I can say that is because I travel enough around the world where I have an adequate and valid benchmark.
Yeah.
There are countries not too far from here. I was just in San Juan, Puerto Rico last week speaking at a conference. And I always like to go where the natives live. They still have, and I forget the term, Dr. Ken, the frequent power outages per day.
Brownouts. They have brownouts.
There's another term, so that's the letter L. But anywho. Mm. So I'm still speaking from a privilege, and I'm still speaking from an ivory tower when I compare what I'm complaining about and what I'm impacted by to other countries. With that being said, it's still hard to prepare and anticipate what's coming next when I live in a country where my president, and when I say my president, he is the president of the United States. Whether I voted for him or not, he is the president of the United States. When I travel and if I have to go to a U.S. embassy, that's my president.
Yep.
My president is so unpredictable and is very self-centered.
Yeah.
And very arrogant to the point where Tom meets or opens his mouth to speak, I get nervous because I don't know the impact that's going to have on my, I don't look, you can care. You can feel how you want to feel about people that don't look like you. But when it starts to hit my pocket, that's when it becomes problematic for me, Dr. Ken.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So what are your thoughts? 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited. WTMJ talking text line. When we come back, More information on the Talking Text line. You can give us a call. Again, 855-616-1620. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. See, I got it right that time. With the effective communication coach, Denise Thomas, and me, Dr. Ken Harris. I think Evan's around here, too. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. Denise Thomas, Dr. Ken Harris, 855-616-1620 is the Signing Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. 36 minutes after the hour. Thanks for hanging here. I just left Indianapolis. It was 83. I had to turn the air conditioning on in the car. And by the time I got to Wisconsin, with the wind chill and the wind, it was below freezing. And I thought about Denise.
Wait a minute. Time out. You were in Indianapolis, which is about a 4-hour
yes.
distance
yes.
from Milwaukee.
Yes.
It was 83 degrees.
Yes.
And when you finished your commute back to Milwaukee,
yes.
now you're in what temperature? What climate?
Well, when I got back to Milwaukee, it said that the air temperature said 37. But you know, with the wind blowing and all of that stuff, that the wind chill, you know, that it's much worse than it is. So no matter what you do, it was below freezing. And in my wife's car, they had the little thing that popped up and said, you know, be careful, roads may be icy. Right now, it's 33 degrees.
It's 33 degrees it's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin right
a
now.
A 50 degree swing. And watch this. The wind chill, it feels like 22. One day.
I wish I could open, because my front door literally is, Dr. Ken, is right there. I'm pointing. My front door is like right there. Like not even.
You don't have to rub it in. You don't have to.
I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm saying, no, I was going
to. Let me look and see what's on the talking text line.
Okay.
First she hits me on the hits me on age. Then she hits me on the EV. Then she hits me on gas. That's all right. You know. Then she hits me on temperature. Okay.
What I was going to say, dear 620 TMJ listeners, value listeners, do not come to Texas if you don't like heat.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's only March. When I say only, I mean in the context of today it was 95 degrees.
See?
And it's only March.
See?
So what that tells me is that this summer is going to be miserable. Yeah. I just want a state to live in where every day it's 70 to 80 degrees,
yeah.
But I digress.
262902 said, my brother and his wife have two EVs and one gas vehicle. They use the EVs more. 414645 said, when I was a kid on the south side of Milwaukee in the early 60s, gas was 29 cents a gallon. And the gas station gave away free gifts like a case of drinking glasses for a fill-up. Which, for the big U.S. cars back then, was about 25 gallons per tank. And then 262210 says, if memory serves me correctly, gas prices can increase 10, 20, 30 cents a day based on pretty much mostly any conditions. But it only comes down 2 cents or a nickel a week when the conditions return to favorable. That is true. That is true. They always have an excuse to jack up the price, but then when the price goes back down, they still want to make money, so they lower it like a penny or two. And people think they're saving, and they're still overpaying.
I will say this. Yeah. It's going to get, and I know I don't want to be negative, Nancy, because we keep hearing this over and over again. The truth, unfiltered, is it will get worse before it gets better. And so for me, I've been, and I'm just sharing this. This is not the gospel or the rule, but I have literally, y'all, I have taken a step back and just assessed my expenses, my fixed and my variable expenses. And as I was sharing with the start of the show, I just sold my car. I had a luxury car. It was my dream car. And I just sold it. And now I'm driving a very basic Tesla model. I'm getting rid of a lot of the things, y'all, because I can sit here and point fingers and complain. But at the end of the day, I know that the first and the 15th of every month, I've got bills that I have to pay, including people, payroll. So at this point, I'm not going to sit here and have a meltdown and point fingers, but I am adopting more of a minimalist lifestyle. And what that means for me, Dr. Ken, is now, before I buy anything, I'll give you an example. This just happened today. I went to a department store because I had to get some pantyhose because I'll be in Milwaukee this week for my book signing. And I know in Milwaukee, I need to have pantyhose. Do you know that I haven't purchased pantyhose in a long time, but today when I went to the department store, I'm thinking I'm going to pay probably about $6 or $7. They were $20. $20!
Now, were those the really, really good ones where you can almost not tell that you have stockings on? Or were they the kind that you looked like you were a nurse in a church service in a Baptist church and you looked at them and it didn't match you and it didn't match your skin tone?
They felt like it.
They felt like $20 or they felt like $6.
They felt like $6 with a $20 price tag. That's what I'm saying. And so I literally had to stop and say, do I really need to purchase these? And usually I'll go to the A word. I'm not going to say it on the air because they're not sponsoring this show. However, due to supply chain issues and getting things on time right now, and I got to be in Milwaukee on Wednesday, I had to make that choice. But that's an example of choices that we now have to make every day versus just 2 or 3 years ago, we didn't think about, do I need eggs? Think about that.
Okay.
Can me and the family really truly take a real vacation?
That's a good point.
The big picture is that this is happening across the entire country, and people that wake up in the morning just wanting to do the right thing, go to work, make a living, pay their bills, pay their taxes, abide by the law, are having to make decisions that we haven't had to make in a while.
Well, many times some of those people have never had to make a decision like that. Because they've made, you know, an amount of money that really, you know, they've been, you know, middle class and everything's been fine. But if you think about like when you talked about the price of gas and how you paid 99 cents, well, inflation has gone up. I checked, and inflation has gone up 95.3% between 1999 and today. So what you would have bought with a dollar, you now would have to use $1.95 to pay for. And when you do it like that, you think a dollar versus $1.95, that's fine. But if it costs $100, now you're paying $195 for it. That's different. When you're paying, you know, for gas, that's a lot.
Again, having to make decisions every day on just basic necessities. When we come back, speaking of decisions, and you know what, Dr. Ken, it's like, as a woman, Let me just say this. We're about to get controversial, y'all. Okay, we're about to unfilter some truth here, and it's going to ruffle some feathers. And I'm sure many of our valued, dedicated listeners who we love and appreciate, y'all going to probably come at me. But I'm not new to push back. But speaking of decisions, when we come back, want to lean into when legacy meets accountability. If you have not heard, Dr. Ken, I'm sure you have, Cesar Chavez, the statue on Milwaukee's south side, has been covered and removed. And this statue, which stood outside of, I believe, the El Rey grocery store since 2016, the owner made the decision to take it down. If you have not heard, Cesar Chavez has recently had a number of serious sexual abuse allegations come out. And if you don't know who Cesar Chavez is, stay tuned, because we're going to come back and we're going to get into someone who was regarded as a national treasure, a civil rights advocate, a labor leader, who recently has had, again, some major, significant, I would even say explosive, sexual abuse allegations. And not just in Milwaukee, but all over the country. Cesar Chavez Day, Cesar Chavez recognition statues are being removed, as well as the federally proclaimed holiday on March 31st, which is next week, which happens to be Cesar Chavez's birthday, is also being canceled. So we come back, we're going to get into who Cesar Chavez was, his legacy, and how he is being canceled after sexual abuse allegations. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris and Denise Thomas. When will this end? We want to hear your thoughts as well. Siding Unlimited, talk and text line 855-616-1620. We will be back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
The city of Milwaukee has celebrated Cesar Chavez Day for more than a decade on or around March 31st. But Wednesday, Alderwoman Jocasta Zamarripa said the event will not be taking place this year following the allegations against Chavez within a New York Times article published this week. Zamarripa also indicated talks will begin in the coming weeks on the naming of Cesar Chavez Drive on the city's south side. The Marcus Performing Arts Center had planned to hold its annual Cesar Chavez celebration April 9th, but officials confirmed that event is also canceled.
Wondering who Cesar Chavez is. Cesar Chavez was a well-known advocate. He co-founded the United Farm Workers, also known as UFW. He led a number of nonviolent protests for better wages and safer working conditions, and organized nationwide boycotts, especially the famous Great Boycott. And his work, his leadership, helped a number of farm workers gain fair pay, basic labor protections, and national attention to exploitation in agriculture. He was even regarded at the same level as Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi, in terms of his philosophy of nonviolence. And he often used peaceful marches, hunger strikes, or also known as fasts, and boycotts. Every year in the country, on March 31st, it was celebrated as Cesar Chavez Day. He was also posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Now, this is an emerging and evolving story, But so far, there have been three women who have publicly accused Cesar Chavez of sexual abuse as minors. Again, this is a newly emerging story, but right now, it's about, why does this continue to keep happening, Dr. Ken? And Cesar Chavez, how long has he, he's been gone from this life for how many years?
Since 1993.
Right.
Yep.
Now, right now, there's a small number of women who have publicly come forward. But multiple reports are suggesting that the numbers may be higher. And we are obviously still in the very early stages of understanding the full scope. But with more voices potentially still coming forward, and institutions are now actively inviting additional accounts, this is where you're seeing the fall of legacy.
Right.
Weinstein, Epstein, Bill Cosby, Cesar Chavez. It's like every time I pick up the newspaper, and I'm being figurative, I don't literally pick up the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing high profile leaders, dead or alive, being investigated for allegations involving women and minors. And I'm trying to understand why this pattern of abuse that has spanned over years, even decades, that involved, again, young women and girls and minors and with people who are regarded so hot. And we talked about this before. The lack of sexual discipline and the lack of regard for the opposite sex or for children.
Yeah.
And so when I need to sit down and reflect on the great leaders of our society across industries, including film, including agriculture, including civil rights, this is always in the background, and now it's coming to the forefront. And it's like, when will it stop?
I think it'll stop when accountability is met. They're talking to more people, like you said. They've got the three women. Their reasoning was that they didn't want to destroy the movement that's been helping, you know, tens of thousands for decades. But now, you know, I think the oldest woman is 95 years old, and he passed away like 33 years ago. And so she finally felt it was important to come out and let people know so there can be healing, and that there can be an understanding of how this happens and why this happens. I find that ironic. Not ironic. The other three you mentioned were all convicted of doing something in that vein. And he was never convicted, one, because he passed away, two, because people were fearful. And I think what's going to happen is the more information they get, the more corroboration they get. Because, you know, if you work in a newspaper, you're going to get more than one or two sources. You know, the issue is they went for one source and, well, do you know of any other people? And then I got another one and another one and another. There are going to be more. And what scares me is the ones that may have since passed away, and their families don't know, and their loved ones don't know. What I hope it doesn't do is destroy the work that union has done for migrants in America. I hope they can figure out a way to position it so that it can remain a strong, viable union. And whether you're for a union or not, it's here and it's working and it's viable and it's helped people for decades. And I think let's not let his, well, I'm trying to remember what you called it. let's not let his lapse, his significantly bad judgment and criminal actions erase the work that that union did only because his name was at the forefront.
Here's the thing. I don't know what it's like to be a survivor of that type of abuse. But when we come back from break, because I know for some people it's hard to believe the survivors when they come out decades later. And I know it takes a lot of courage to do that. But this is not just about Cesar Chavez. This is about, you know, owning your voice and using it. Because when these allegations involve events from years, sometimes decades ago, it does no one good. Because Cesar Chavez is not here. He's, like you said, he's been gone for over 30 years. When we come back from break, our next hour, we'll get into this more. Also, we've got a lot of great topics, including we're going to talk about closing the cardiovascular care gap. Also, the Target boycott. Is it really over? Pastor Jamal Bryant said it was, but he got a lot of smoke for that. So we're going to come to terms with what's next for the Target boycott. And finally, the Postal Service, the United States Postal Service, faces potential cash crisis as early as this year. The Postmaster is warning Americans. So more to come. You are listening to Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris and Denise Thomas. Stay locked in for the second hour of Unfiltered Truth.